Well, I'm harnessed, and like a Boy Scout, I am ready. Nice to be with you on this, our final morning in the study of Psalm 119. So you have another meeting after this. I'll try and give you a little break so that you can stand and then be ready for our brother in his presentation. Not of the dinosaurs, but the heavens declare the glory of God. Now let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 119, and we are reading a section from 161 through 168, and of course the meaning of the word shin, S-H-I-N, and it's pronounced shin, like as though it was two E's, and all it means is teeth. And in case some of you might want to get all these names, I've been carrying things like this for years and given out hundreds of them. This is the Hebrew alphabet, and it has the meaning of all the letters. And we've only covered a few. I made mention of the first four. And then yesterday we saw the word for hand, and we read about the word for mouth, because there are seven parts of the body in the Hebrew alphabet. And I always remember speaking in the YMCA in the city of Jerusalem, and we were at a conference, and of course we had our Arab brothers and our Hebrews or our Jewish brethren. We had a very profitable conference with Mr. Strofsky, Mr. Malkinkowski, and Harry Medrow and myself and one or two others. It was a happy time. And I was speaking on Acts chapter 9, where the Lord, way up in heaven, he said, when Saul said, I heard a voice in the Hebrew tongue. That's the Jewish language, in the Hebrew tongue. So naturally, I just said, Advent, I've often wondered, when we get to heaven, if we won't speak Hebrew. And to my horror, there are three of our leading brethren from the Nazareth Assembly that just rose up as though a magnet had drawn them, walked, did just like the Russians, went right out. I could hardly wait till I was through, and I saw them outside. What on earth happened? What did I say? Oh, they said, Brother Rainey, we can stand some things, but when it comes to speaking Hebrew in heaven, that was too much for us. We're Arabs. So the fight goes on, oh Christian soldier. I never forgot that. Now let's read 161. The word for princes here means rulers. Rulers have persecuted me without a cause. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous ordinances. Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. May God bless the reading of his word. Now you'll notice here's eight verses. And as we told you during this week, the word eight comes from the verb shemona, which simply means more than enough. And that's why it's so marvelous that in these eight verses, there's more than enough for your need as you make your way toward the celestial city. I am so thankful. This is one word I can understand quite easily because of living in Africa. Because when a baby is born in Africa and it begins to grow and develop, one of the first things an African mother, and especially in the days of yesterday, she had observed the little child, and if ever its teeth came in the wrong way, It was a very ill omen, and many a little child had been killed or taken up and thrown to the crocodiles because its teeth came in wrong. And that's one of the ways that the mother would look and observe. Now, what significance has teeth in relation to the language of God, the language of the Hebrew Bible? Well, it's quite simple. Last week, for the first time in my life, I stayed with a dentist. And I was so thankful that after all these years, I do not have teeth like the stars. They come out at night. And in the course of a conversation, I showed him from my Bible. I said, have you ever thought of that? Look, there it is, right at the top of verse 161. See, I said, my, it's the very shape of my teeth. Look, just like I put the three fingers together. And there you have the very shape of your teeth. Just like the word Av for father and the word for mother, Im. The way God formed our mouth was that in any language of the world, it's so easy to say Abba or Imma, because the God who made us, he knows our need. And he gives fathers and he gives mothers, but those words are beautiful in their formation as well as their meaning. And so as the dentist, he looked at this. He says, what do you think it means? Well, I said, I'm asking you. You're 15 years, and you've built up a successful practice here in North Carolina. What do you think it means? And he was stuck. And I've asked this question to dentists in New Zealand, Australia, out in Africa, America, Canada. What do you think? Well, dentist is a dentist. But to see, the teeth are suggestive of development. And our Lord told us, if you do not believe in the message that he brought to this earth, you'll go where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And teeth have to do with development and destiny. And if you want God's classic on how to grow in the things that are divine, go to 2 Peter, where the Lord has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And now he says, having multiplied to you all these marvelous things, I want you to do some adding. And he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And he gives us a detailed portrait of Christian growth. And when it comes to the Old Testament, if you want to develop a love and a deeper desire for the scriptures of truth, well then let's come to the Bible. And as you come to the Word of God, and you have a love for the Word of God, it will increase, it will grow. And sometimes, after I've been away from my Bible in private, personal study, I long to get back. Because, over a period of years, this is my meat. This is my milk. This is my honey. This is the book that builds me up. And I believe that the man who wrote this, whoever authored it, I do not think he was a young man. I believe that over a period of years, he had weathered many a storm. He had fought many a battle. He had experienced the blessings of the Lord upon his life. And he was counting his blessings, and he was naming them ton by ton. And he takes up his pen to write by the Spirit of God. And he sets forth 22 sections, setting forth the mind and heart of God. And if you ask any doctor, he'll tell you how many major bones and how many minor bones are in your head. And if there's supposed to be 22, maybe there is meaning to the 22 letters of the alphabet. And why is it that the Jews hold the number 5 as sacred? Because ask any doctor in Florida, 22 parts of your body are in 5. That's why you have 5 fingers on each hand and 5 toes on each foot. Then you have 5 senses. And when it comes to the things of God, there's a reason why the little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. There's a reason why God's people went out of the out of Egypt into the wilderness, harnessed in fives. There's a reason why David had five smooth stones. And people have their various meanings and interpretations. But five is a symbol of grace and Jehovah. And that's why if you read the fifth section of this alphabet, it's a constant prayer that we might understand, that we might be taught, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Now you come to this section, and lest I don't get through, I want to show you, by God's help, how we can have a deeper appreciation of the Word of God, and what are the dividends? What are the results? What's the sequel? Here it is. Number one, God will build into your life a reverence, an awe, a spirit that is different from the spirit of this world. They're the get and the grab. They want to get things overnight. But it takes a little while for things to grow. And while God can grow a mushroom overnight, it takes years and years for an oak. And in the things of God, it's a development. It's a growth. It's here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And we go, as the prophet Isaiah says, we go from the breast to the bottle, to the building, to the battle. And he sets it all forth like a wise farmer as he develops his theme in the book of Isaiah. And here he says, princes or rulers have persecuted me. Because in some parts of the world, to have a Bible, it's costly. And to be the owner of a Bible, it's dangerous. And when I think of what some people suffer just to have a Bible, and then they have the Bible taken away from them, I treasure my Bible. I revere the Word of God. I relish it. And I rejoice in the things that God has given to me. And where do I find them? In this wonderful book called the Bible. And that's why I believe we should know it in our heads. We should sow it in our hearts. We should sow it wherever we go through life. And in daily living, we should show it. And this is the Word of God. And he says, princes have persecuted me. There was a price to pay as he went through this world. And they did it without a cause. And I'm glad he slips in this word again. Because without a cause, there are some things that God allows in our lives we shall never understand till we cross the other side. Because he's weaving a garment that you're going to wear in eternity. You're building a house. And God's design is that you have it on the right foundation and you build according to the pattern and on the basis of gold, silver, and precious stones. And that all has meaning. But I am to build according to the pattern. And God's design is to conform me to the image of Jesus Christ. And he was God's last word to this world. God hath spoken. And the last message that God ever gave to this world is bound up in Jesus Christ. That's why he's called the truth. That's why the word truth is the first, the middle, and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And that's why the Jews believe in the truth books. Because the truth books are Job and the Psalms and the Proverbs. And they spell out the word truth. Because in those three books, I discover something about my life physically. And God asked Job about 57 to some say 70 questions. He couldn't answer one. And if we couldn't give God a right answer concerning a lot of things about nature, how then can we answer properly when it comes to the things of the Spirit? That's why we need divine help. We need the unction and power of God, the Holy Spirit, if we're going to understand the things of God, and especially the deep things of God. Then you have another book that's called the Psalms. And these words that I'm reading, they are things spiritual. Because in the law, the threefold division of the Old Testament, you have the figures of our Lord. How marvelous to see him in things pertaining to the ark, in human beings like Melchizedek. But you see, you have various figures. In the prophets, you have the foreshadowings of our Lord. But in this book, There is no thought. There is no feeling. There is no emotion that ever grips your life. But what the answer is found in this book. That's why people love the Psalms. That's why people take with them when they go on a trip a little book called the Psalms. Of course, if you're Scots, you'll take Proverbs. But there it is. As long as he has his porridge in his book of Proverbs, he's set for life. That's what they used to tell us. The book of Proverbs deals with practical things. And that's why it's a good thing to read a chapter every day, because that's why there's 31. And how does he end? The best picture of a woman. Because paint and powder will never make any woman. It may help a little. And I always say to my wife, well, if you can help yourself, the Lord help you. And so she does fix herself up, and I appreciate that. But the book of Proverbs has to do with the practical. And things that are physical, spiritual, and practical, they're found in the three books, the Amet books, the truth books. And that's the significance of this marvelous word. Because truth has to do with the living word, has to do with the written word. Now he says, princes have persecuted me without a cause, because I just don't understand why the Lord steps into some lives and he wrenches someone away, or he allows them to lie sick day after day when he could easily say, come up higher. And I just have to leave certain things with God and certain things about my own life and just leave it with God. But there's one thing I can be taught. I can learn. I can grow. I can develop. And the more I follow this way, I arrive where Job arrived. I put a zipper on my mouth and draw it. And then God speaks to me. And bowing in the dust, I discover really what I am. I'm just dust and ashes. But my dust and ashes is linked with deity. And that makes all the difference in the world. The first thing I discover in the development of my soul before God, my heart standeth in awe of thy word. And if we really believe what God says, my, wouldn't we have a deep love for the Lord Jesus who came into this world to save poor sinners? Wouldn't we have a new awareness of what took place at Calvary? Wouldn't we have a greater admiration for the Christ of God who created this world and walked through this world and even spat on his face? And wouldn't we have a tremendous longing, oh, that I might know him. Oh, that I might see him. And someday behold the king in his beauty. And I tell you, you get occupied with him and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And as I come to my Bible, lots of times I'm not ready for it. Lots of times my soul is sort of agitated. My heart might be grieving about this or that. And various things have happened, and it's better for me to go out for a walk. Maybe it's a lot better to go and see somebody. And there are times when we're just not in the attitude. But then there's other times I hunger, and my very being heaves, and something is taking place in my heart. And Lord, I just want to hear your voice. And there's times in prayer when I just have to stop. Let the Lord speak. Because in love, you have desires. You have delight. And you're devoted to the one that God gives you. That's real life. In relation to the Bible, there must be a desire. So I ask the Lord to create that desire. In myself, I'm deader than the Dead Sea. But then by his Spirit, I begin to think upon him. And I mull things over in my mind. And as the fire begins to burn, then speak I with my tongue. And it does make a difference. And I ask the Lord to create in me a reverence for the Word of God. So I just hate when I go into a place and the Bible is stuck with three or four other books on it. I went through my brother's Bibles yesterday, and I picked out it, and I'd open them up. There were little things here, little things there, because he doesn't read anymore. That's the time you need to pray for people. That's the time you need to hold them up to God. Because they're just not with it. So you do the praying. And then if you go and visit them, just leave them with something of the Word of God. And my attitude should be of holy reverence. And as I come to it, I say, oh, Lord, open my eyes. And he does. And he'll show you things you never dreamed of. But I have that attitude. It's an attitude of reverence. It's an attitude of wonder that the God of heaven has taken away the scales of unbelief from off my eyes. He's purged me by means of blood. And he's brought me into a living relationship with himself. And I stand all amazed at the love Jesus offers me. I'm confused at the grace he so freely proffers me. And I'm in the right attitude. And then I do business with God. And so I met God in the morning when the day was at its best. And his presence came like sunrise with a glory in my breast. Reverence for the Word of God. This is one of the sequels or dividends in studying the Bible. And long, long before you ever get out of this world, God will show to you that this book is God-breathed. This book has come from heaven. This is the work of a divine mastermind. He's its architect. And lo, it's written by about 40 authors. It spread over a period of 1,600 years, and some were separated as far as away toward Afghanistan, and then others were in the city of Jerusalem. What a distance, and I've been over it. And yet God caused them to so to write that they put their thoughts as indicted by the Spirit of God, and he brought this book into a unity that no demon from hell or no man on the face of the earth will ever be able to rip it apart, destroy it, burn it, banish it. Why? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And this brings into my life such an inward joy that it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what my neighbor says. Why, if my neighbor came to me in Jerusalem, he says, Adonai, he says, I am glad you are my neighbor. But he says, I'm so sorry for you, because he said, you teach things and you can't even find the word Jesus in my Bible. And he says, furthermore, he says, the cross, that's a term, that's a curse thing. It's a sign, the sign of the cross. Look what the Crusaders did. Look what the Germans have done. And look what happened to us as the sheep of Israel. Look what happened to us. You were Gentiles. And the sign of the cross is not in our book. I said, look, you're maybe busy, and I keep busy. So I said, let's have a little visit. And it was okay with him, okay with me. So I said, on the Sabbath, you'll be free. So let's have a little dinner. So I went over to see him. And I said, whatever you do, you get your Hebrew Bible. I'll get my Hebrew Bible. And I got my Hebrew Bible, went over and had a visit with Adam Kuhn. And I said, I want you to turn to the sixth book of the Bible. That's Joshua. He said, that's fine. So, now I said, look in the center of the words, because you can read it. I can read it. Look. I said, what's the central word? He said, Yeshua. I said, yeah, that means Joshua. Good. Let's go over to another one. So we went to Isaiah. And it's Yeshayahu. And right at the center of the word Isaiah, you get Yeshua. The same word. Now I took him to another book, Hosea. And in Hosea, it's just a little different one letter. And there you have the book Hosea. Now I said, don't you see? He says, it's the word Jesus. I said, yeah. But I said, I don't stop there. One of the greatest men that ever lived, he was a tax collector. But he had a great brain. He was really computerized long, long before we ever came into the world. And I said, he takes up his pen to write. And he says, thou shalt call his name Joshua. For he shall Isaiah his Hosea. And in one verse, he compressed the whole teaching of three of the greatest books in the Bible. And they all converge in one name. The name of Jesus is so sweet. And it's absolutely marvelous. And he said, ooh. He says, it's there, isn't it? I said, sure is. Only you have to have eyes to see. And then I took him to this chapter. And I said, look at the last chapter, last verses of Psalm 119, because it's the word Tav, and it's the symbol of the cross. And he says, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord, give me understanding. Let my supplication come before thee and deliver me. It's the very same word for save me, Jesus. And then it says, he ends up, verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. What does a lost sheep mean? A shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Care. That's why Jesus does. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And the last very lines, he's talking about a sheep that's going astray. And that's why sheep need a shepherd. And that's why Jesus came like a sheep before her shears is dumb. And as a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. And it's quoted in the Old, and it's quoted in the New. Because the whole idea of the cross is sacrifice. And by the time I got through with that man, he didn't have a leg to stand on. And the only way you can ever defeat a Jew, not by brains, they're far too clever, not by anything to do with money, they'll take you for a ride and sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. But when it comes to the Word of God, they're lost. And if you go to the Jew in the right attitude and deal with him, what says the Scriptures? He soon sees, like the consul in Nairobi, and he says, Mr. Rainey, if what you say is true, and he stopped right in the street and looked me straight in the face. He said, if what you say is true, I'm a lost man. He'd come a long way. And now let God do his work. And the Holy Spirit will take his word. And how do I know when Mr. Gill sometime will be lying in his back or maybe at home, the Holy Spirit will bring that. And his eyes will be open to see that Jesus is the real McCoy. And so, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And just like the hunter comes in, and there he is. It is a beautiful specimen. I've seen them go fishing, and I've watched them, and I know my own life. And what a thrill. And it's the same with the miner when he discovers some nugget. And it's the same with God's people, because there's gold in these hills. But you have to have eyes to see. And you have to have a desire to do something. Because when they were without water, Elisha said, dig ditches, and you've got to do some digging. You've got to do your part. You've got to get up. And you've got to go and gather the manna. And God will supply your need as long as you're on the face of the earth. He'll give you something. And whether it's a little text in the bathroom, or whether it's a little promise, or whether it's something read, we should read our Bibles every day. Read your Bibles. Read it every day. You'll find it wonderful all the way. Brightly it will shine, a lamp for youth and age. Then seek to read your Bible. And as you read the Word of God, you may not understand it. But you can meditate upon it. God doesn't call all of us to study the Bible. God doesn't make us all students. But you can do what my father did in a busy life and 9 children. You can learn to think upon the Word of God. And instead of spending all your thought and time, the more you watch the TV, just like myself, it's fascinating to me. I haven't had any. I've never seen the morning show. And I got acquainted with these personalities, and I thank God for some of the ways that they're able to do. And they have their life. I have my life. But God, help me to keep from giving 2 or 3 hours to this and giving myself 5 minutes to this, and I would fall into the same trap that many of you fall into. And that's why you have to cultivate a desire, an appreciation. And the more we rise in the energy of faith, the more you'll discover that the tinsel and the toys and the trash of this world is not worthy to be compared with what God has given to you in Jesus Christ. And he can make it good to your hand right now. And that's why we need to keep praying as we get older, as we follow on. Because the flesh decays, but the inner man is the same. He grows and he desires that which is real and true. And if you want the leeks and the garlic and the onions of America, you can have them. But if you want the old corn of the land and the roast lamb and the manna that comes down, angel's food that comes down from heaven, then you must go after it. And he says, I rejoice at thy word. Then he says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Why does he say this? Because the more you go on in the Word of God, the more the Word of God exposes to you that which is crooked, that which is not right, that which is hypocritical. And you see so much of it. And then you don't have to go outside. You see it inside. And then you say, Lord, help me to be true. Help me to be sincere. Because I really love you. And the more you love the Word of God, the more you'll turn from all that which is not the right thing. And that's why whether it's a young man, a middle-aged man, or an old man, same with women, it doesn't matter. There'll be an increasing love in your heart. And that love will permeate your being, and you'll discover that while faith is one thing and hope is another, the greatest of all is L-O-V-E, and nothing will ever separate me from that love, because it's rooted and grounded in the heart of God. It has been demonstrated in the person of Christ, and by the Spirit, He shed abroad in my heart His love. And it takes the whole triune God to make it a reality. And then He says, seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous ordinances. And here's another. See, I have a brother-in-law, and he's a Finn. He's a real charismatic. And yet I've learned from him, quite a character, and he'd try to sell it all to me. But he and his wife have little time. She's American, Canadian. He is Finnish. And so Bernice at times really wants to blow her top. And Alistair said, no. Say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say it 10 times. And so, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By the time she gets to the 10th time, she'd almost lost what she was going to say. And you know, I learned from him because he was always doing it. And I thought, oh, boy, isn't it something? But I lived with him. And I discovered, hey, he's real. And he's a dedicated engineer. And he's been brought up so different from me. It's amazing. But he came into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he developed this attitude of praising the Lord. And that's why it's so difficult for us at times. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I saw that text in an assembly after I'd come back from a funeral that tore my heart apart. And I walked into that assembly, and I saw that sign. I said, Lord, I praise Thee, for Thou art the God who doeth all things well. It's not easy. And so I discovered that as I read my Bible, I find again and again, oh, that men would praise the Lord, for He's good. And all the way through the Bible, you'll find this thankful spirit, this praising spirit, this spirit that is begotten of God by His Spirit. And we learn to look on the bright side of things, the positive side of things, the life that, to which we are all going to enter into in its fullness. And in the meantime, in spite of the fact that God may allow a gourd to grow up and protect us, and we enjoy some of the gracious comforts and blessings of our Lord or the mercies of the Lord, sometimes God sends a worm. And the worm comes along and does all the dirty work. And I have to thank God for the bitter as well as the sweet. And that takes spirituality. And then look what it says here. 165, great peace have they that love Thy law. And I've written something down about, here's Christ's legacy. The soldiers got His clothes. John got His mother. Joseph of Arimathea got His body. The Father got the Spirit. What did we get here at the Park of the Palms? My peace I bequeath to you. Let not your heart be troubled. In the world you'll have trouble as long as you live in the earth. Tribulation, trial, it'll come. Be not troubled. The prince of this world cometh to nothing in me. Wonder why did he say that? 3 times he said it. Because in spite of the devil and in spite of the ravages of sin and all that we see all around us, Christ went to the cross and He defeated him with the power of death. That is the devil. And He destroyed him. Of course we see that's not put into full force. But the sting has been taken out. The awful reality of dying in our sins and going to hell, it's gone. We sorrow not as others who have no hope. And now God has put within us this marvelous love that's shed abroad. He's given us a hope, sure and steadfast. And he's given me a peace that passes all understanding. And I say, oh, Lord, teach me what it means. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. It's a play on Hebrew. Perfect peace. Peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. Whose mind is stayed in me. I need peace for my heart, head. I need peace for my heart. That's why he uses it that way. And it says, great peace have they which love thy law. And look what it says. Nothing, nothing shall offend them. And so, it doesn't matter if he spit on me. And I've been preaching and teaching the word of God when a Jew would rise right up. And he couldn't stand him. Couldn't stand it. And then, and right down over my face. And on another occasion, I was in the marketplace. And I was witnessing for the Lord Jesus. And a Jew was listening. And he looked that way. And he looked that way. And I said, I believe that Jesus Christ was the greatest Jew that ever graced our planet. There's no one in all the world like him. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. The man looked, and he just went like that. But before he went, that's right, I believe he was a secret believer. And I believe that God has Nathanaels here and there. And I believe all over Israel there's people who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when we all get to heaven, there'll be many a Jew who has put his trust in Jesus Christ, but they haven't got really what we've got. We've got a subtle peace. We've got something that God has put in, and the waves may be on the top, just a mass of unrest, but away in the depths of the sea, all is calm. That's the way I'd like to live, but I can't live that way unless I have God, and I can't be that way unless I've stayed my heart and soul upon the living God. And so that's why I need my Bible. That's why I need to be in touch with my Lord. That's why I need the fellowship of kindred spirits. And that's why we need one another. Because you can help me, I can help you, and that's why I'm in this world. I came into this world, as far as I know, to be a testimony to the truth as long as I live. I can do nothing against it. I can only do that which is for the truth. And therefore, under God, the little while that I live here on the earth, would to God that I might be a peace bringer instead of a divider among God's people. And I've lived to see the rottenness and the wretchedness of men who in their own desires want position and power and how it destroys. But my Lord was among us as one who serves, and he must have had a tremendous effect when they were, someone would come on, what about my two sons sitting at your right hand? And how graciously he dealt with a situation like that. And our Lord is the great counselor, and we need to go to him. Then in verse 166, I have hoped, and I have the God of hope fill you with all hope and joy in believing according to the power of the Holy Spirit. And he is the God of hope, and he's brought hope into my life. And I'm looking not for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. We believe that Jesus may come in the morning. We believe he may come at noon. We believe he may come in the evening. And one of these days, it's going to be all over. And we'll be home in the presence of the Lord. And so this hope keeps burning. And something takes place in my life. And I want to get on. And I want to follow. Because I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights and gaining every day. And as I pierce the gloom of the mist, by noontime the sun has come out. It bathes the sun in glory. And that's just like my life as I wait quietly in the presence of the Lord. Because as we wait in the presence of the Lord, we throw off our soiled, dirty garments and we come in for a real change, a good shower, a nice drink of something. And as we follow God's way, we begin to mount up with wings as an eagle. We walk, run, and we're not weary. And we walk, and we faint not. Oh, Christian, this is God's way. And this is some of the spoil. This is some of the revenue. These are some of the dividends that I get as I go to the bank of heaven. And how does it all end? My soul hath kept thy testimony. I love them exceedingly. Verse 160, I've kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all thy ways are before them. And that means before your face. It's the little word face to face, because the word was face to face with God, and the word was God. And here is the last dividend. To obey is better than sacrifice. For when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still if we what? Trust and obey. The Lord give us enablement by his Spirit to follow him and to get a little from this old book for our hearts. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank thee for these few mornings that we have been enabled of God to take up the Holy Scriptures and present them to the sheep of thy pasture. Oh, that thou wouldst bless these thy children, and that there may be created in our heart, regardless of our age, a desire to see the King in his beauty, a desire to search and see whether these things be so, and to discover long, long before we ever get to heaven that thy word is like a garden, Lord, with flowers rich and rare. The word of God is like a deep, deep mine, and we can gather the spoil, the treasures, if we only believe. Hinder the devil from stealing away the good seed, the word of God. Anoint our eyes to behold the theme of the book, the Lord Jesus, and send us on our way like the Ethiopian eunuch. Send us on our way rejoicing, whom having not seen we love. And though we see him not, we rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.